All right, tonight our subject is on the pastor and his emotions. The pastor and his emotions. And look at Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. The pastor and his emotions. I want to say by way of introduction that I think this is the biggest battle right here in the ministry. I think this does in more pastors than anything else. Too often we think that our only enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. When a man becomes a pastor, he's usually to the point where the world doesn't mean that much to him. There may be an occasional Demas who forsakes Paul, having loved this present world, but most pastors I know aren't covetous. The things of the world, they could care less about them. So the world usually doesn't do the pastor in. The flesh usually doesn't get to the pastor. Now, occasionally we hear a story about a pastor running off with another woman. But that's usually big news, and the reason it's big news is because it doesn't happen that often. It's usually what big news is, an event that doesn't happen very often. I have a calendar that I pray over, and I've been praying over it for years and years and years, about probably 50 churches just here in the western New York area. And out of all those pastors I've prayed all these years, I only know of one of them that ran off with a woman. So it's usually not the flesh that gets pastors to give up. And then it's usually not the devil. Usually by the time they become a pastor, they know how to put on the armor of God. They know how to use the scriptures to resist the devil with, just like the Lord did when he quoted scripture, when he was tempted. And usually by the time they're in the ministry, a man is at least mature enough spiritually so that he can handle the sword pretty well in combating temptation. And so it's usually not the devil. He knows how to resist the devil, and the devil flees, and so on and so forth. But there's an area that I think pastors lose it most of all. And as a pastor all of these years, I would say that this area tonight that I'm talking about is probably the most difficult realm I have in the ministry. It's the hardest part for me about being a pastor, and that's the pastor and his emotions. This is the hardest battle I have, and have had these 23 years now that I've been a pastor, with my own emotions. We lose control of our emotions sometimes as pastors, usually in two areas, which I hope to cover in this message, usually in our preaching and in our patience. We lose control of our emotions in our preaching and in our patience, and as a result, sometimes do devastating things to our own ministries. I've done it myself. For instance, I remember a pastor that I had. Good man, loved the Lord. I can remember how he would just lose control of himself when people smoked on the church property. And he was dealing with a lot of babies in Christ that didn't know better, hadn't come to the conviction that it was wrong to smoke, or couldn't get over the addiction or whatever. And as soon as church was out, they'd be out on the front porch smoking cigarettes, or on their way to the car smoking cigarettes, and so on and so forth. And there were some brand new believers that were attending. And I remember him very angrily from the pulpit making a statement something like this. He says, "If you really want to smoke, why don't you put your lips on the tailpipe of our bus? Then you can really smoke." And he just really let that issue get to him. And I know what that's like. I could give you examples from my own life. A particular young couple began to dropped out of church immediately that day, never came back. They were brand new babes in the Lord, and they were starting to grow in the Lord, and they hadn't come. And after about a month of not attending, I was sent to their house and to see what was wrong. And it turned out that this young couple had become so offended by his words that he spoke angrily from the pulpit that day about them smoking cigarettes, they took it personally. They thought he was speaking to them personally. And they were offended. Now, I know what the Bible says about how people shouldn't get offended, blah, blah, blah. But this lesson isn't about people. It's about pastors. And before we get to our text, it says this. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Just picture a castle with all kinds of bars on the windows and bars on the doors and so on and so forth. You can't get into that. That's the picture God is saying here in Proverbs 18:19, that pastors should learn that if you as a pastor ever offend somebody, I'm not talking about God's word offending people. That's gonna do it on itself. But if you personally as a pastor, because you have not controlled your emotions, and from the pulpit you lost control of your emotions and you say something that offends somebody, those people are going to put bars up around them and you are never going to get inside of them again. You're never going to get inside of them again. It's gotten to the point in just a handful of times in the ministry the Lord's given me where I have finally and humbly gone up to people and said, you know, I understand my ministry with you is finished. That I'll never be able to speak to your heart or to your mind again. And I have strongly encouraged them, why don't you find another good Bible-believing, preaching and practicing church to attend where you can once again find a pastor that can speak to your heart and mind. Because I knew they had put up bars all around their mind and their heart, and I would never get inside of that person again. Not because of what I said, but because of how I said it. How I said it. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, verse 20. And there are times where pastors mount the pulpit angrily, frustrated, discouraged, and in the area of preaching and in the area of patience, they lose control of their own emotions and they do damage. The pastor and his emotions. Now, what does he need to do? Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 28, our text for this message. Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That word rule, it's the only time it's ever used in the Old Testament. I mean, the word in the English appears, but I mean the word, the root word that it comes from. The word rule here means to restrain or to control. It says, he that hath no rule, he that hath no restraint or control over his city, his spirit, is like a city that is broken down without walls. Now, we all can have a mental picture of what this man's like by thinking back to 9/11. In 2001, when those two jet airliners ran into the World Trade Center, somewhere around 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and by noon, those two towers, 110 stories high, were nothing but rubble laying down on the ground in pieces, just devastated. That rubble that we saw is the picture God's trying to portray here in Proverbs 25 and verse 28, of a man that cannot rule his own spirit. He is like a devastated city. He is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It's a mess. He is a wreck of a human being. So the ministry is tough because the ministry is, you know, we like to say it's a spiritual ministry, but brother, you better understand it's an emotional one too. The ministry is an emotional experience. And an emotional ministry. And one of the things that's hard is that sometimes men who perhaps are emotional basket cases are then called by God to be in the ministry. And then they're struggling with their own emotions personally. And then you have all the other emotions of the ministry dumped on you. Boy, is it a load. It is a load. We have to rule our spirit, it says here. We have to have restraint and control over our spirit. Now, what is the spirit? We are described in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 as a spirit, soul, and body. The Apostle Paul prayed that their whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a triumvirate. Every one of us men is an association of three persons. We're like a trinity. There is a man in us that's a spirit with a small s, a man in us that is a soul, and then there is a man that is a body, which is a real man. He's the shell of the where the spirit and soul are contained. We have to understand that when it talks about us being a spirit, rule your spirit, that's talking about the emotional realm. The soul is talking about the spiritual realm. The body is talking about the physical realm. It says, he that hath no rule over his spirit, small s. The spirit is an inner man that is the seat of the emotions, the feelings, the attitudes, the mind, and the will. I know there's emotions involved in the soul and everything, but we just want to focus on the human spirit and the pastor, the preacher in this lesson. And that is the pastor and his emotions, his feelings, his attitude, his mind, his will, and how he has to live with it. So you are a triumvirate. You're an association of three persons. If just one of those persons is not cooperating with the other two, your demise is imminent. It won't be long before the one will ruin the two. All three have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. All three have to be in working together with each other. If your flesh fights against your soul or your spirit, you're going to have big problems. If your spirit, your emotions fights against your soul, you can be a spiritual man, have a good soul, but be an emotional wreck and not make it in the ministry. And I don't have time to develop all that, but study, it's called anthropology. And study anthropology. But you got to know this. You got to know this, because sometimes we just constantly prepare men for the soul. And we just try to give them Bible and teach them how to pray and how to love God and work on the spiritual. A lot of times in Bible college or in training, we're training pastors about the soul. But then by the time he's in his 40s or 50s, he's having physical problems because he doesn't know how to eat. Or he's having problems with the human spirit because nobody ever taught him how to rule his spirit, how to rule his anger, how to rule frustration, and so on and so forth. These have been the battles. These have been the biggest battles of my ministry. And I've caused some damage because I just never learned it. I studied the human spirit one time probably 10 years ago. I've been in the ministry 23 years, and I said, wow. There's over almost 150 references to it in the Bible, and I was never taught anything about it. Look over now at Luke chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to read Proverbs 16 and verse number 32. Proverbs 16 verse 32 says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. That's talking about a great athlete or a great general. A great athlete or a great general. And it says you're better than both if you can rule your spirit, if you can control your own emotions. Now, how do we do that? We are emotional creatures as pastors. That I have not yet learned a way to just shut off your emotions. I haven't learned a way. So we've got to deal in the emotional realm as pastors, or we're going to be destroying people and quitting the ministry. Well, let's look at some solutions now. Notice two great preachers. I'm going to just give you a little bit of advice now about probably the two greatest preachers that ever walked the earth. We know who the greatest one was, right? Jesus Christ. But who did he say was the greatest ever born of women? John the Baptist. Now let's notice the same thing about both those great preachers. Luke 1 verse 80 says this. Speaking of John the Baptist, it says this. Luke 1 verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. John the Baptist, as he grew, waxed. That word waxed simply means to become. He became strong in what? Spirit. Now that is a small s. That's saying the human spirit. John became strong in his human spirit. John became strong in the emotional realm as he was growing up. He learned how to control and how to rule his spirit. He became emotionally stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger while he grew up. And the Bible says, Jesus said, over in Matthew 11 and verse 11, that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever born of women. He knew how to rule his spirit. Now let's look at Jesus. Look at Luke 2 and verse 40. Probably the next page in your Bible, Luke 2 verse 40. Now it's speaking about Jesus, and it says this about Jesus. And he and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. I don't understand all this, but Jesus, for the sake of having the human experience, had to go through everything we had to go through. Childhood, being a little baby and having to be breastfed and potty trained, all that kind of stuff, I guess. You know, so that he could relate to us, he went through the whole human experience. And it says, while he was growing up there in Nazareth, he waxed strong in spirit. He became strong in the emotional realm. As Jesus was growing up, he became stronger and stronger and stronger emotionally. Now, I don't have time to talk about parenting right here, but I believe that there's a lot of men in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s who are weak emotionally because they didn't have good training at home growing up. They didn't have any discipline. They were allowed to have temper tantrums. They weren't made to work. They weren't made to save. They were allowed to get their way on everything, and they grew up emotionally weak. And you know what they're like? They're like a city that's broken down without walls. They're a mess. Like the trade towers when they came down. They're a mess. If you're going to be a pastor, you've got to have some emotional strength. You've got to become an emotional heavyweight. If you're going to be a leader in any capacity, you've got to become an emotional heavyweight. You've got to be, or you're not going to last long. The average pastor lasts, according to the UPS, between 18 and 19 months in the ministry and in the church. According to the Barna Research Group, 2.5 years. So I don't know which is true. But either 1.5 to 2.5 is not very long in duration. And then usually they leave that church and pastor one or two more churches. But the average duration of a pastor's ministry is 6 years. And in most cases, you check it out, it's not the world, it's not the flesh, and it's not the devil that gets to them. They lose the battle with their own emotions. They cannot take it. They cannot take it. I appreciate the man that ordained me, Pastor Jim Lockwood. I went to the ordination council and they grilled me with questions about doctrine and principles and marriage and what do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? And so on and so forth. And it was quite an experience, and it should be. But the only thing I ever remember from that day specifically was Pastor Lockwood asking me this question. He said, Brother Art, he said, are you prepared to spend the rest of your life with a broken heart? It's the only thing I remember from that day. Now, of course, I said yes, because it was an ordination council, and that was the right answer to give. I had no idea what it meant, but I do now. I do know what it means now. And that's the ministry, man. There better be an emotional preparation in you. If you're going to make it in the ministry, you have got to be able to handle your emotions, or you're not going to make it. Jesus made it because he waxed strong in spirit. John the Baptist made it. He waxed strong in spirit. You know, if you turn over to Isaiah 53, I want you to notice in verse 3, the emotional battles or life that Jesus had to endure in the ministry. It says this, and you're not above the Lord. If you're going to be a pastor, you're not above the Lord. If this is how his ministry was described, then expect no better. Okay? Let's read it. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Well, that's what Jesus went through. It's not going to be any better for us. He is despised. Notice twice that word's used in the verse, despised. There's going to be people that are just going to despise you. Now, if you're in love with yourself, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. If you think the ministry is about you, about building your own kingdom, about everybody thinking you're the most wonderful man that's in town, you're not going to make it. Not going to happen. He is despised and what? Rejected. You like rejection? How many like that? You like love rejection? He is rejected. Man of sorrows. Do you think in John 6 and verse 66, when it says, when he preached a hard saying there in the Capernaum synagogue, and it says, and many of his disciples turned back and walked no more with him. You think that may have affected his emotions a little bit? You think that maybe that is what it means when it says he was a man of sorrows? You think maybe he had a little bit of sorrow that day when he turned to the others and said, will you also go away? I think so. Man of sorrows. You see, men, people are going to leave your church. You're not going to be the first pastor to keep everybody that comes to your church. And some of the reasons they're going to give you. A lot of them aren't going to give you any reason. They're not going to say a word. They're just going to leave and never come back. You better be able to handle rejection. You better be able to handle being despised. You better be able to handle being esteemed not. In other words, not having people respect you. If this is not the makeup of your emotions, then please don't be in the ministry. A lot of it's a test. We have this kind of strange verse. I'll read it for you in Proverbs 20. Meditate on this verse sometime. It says in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man, your attitude, is the candle of the Lord. God is going to put you through things, and then he is going to watch your emotions. He's going to watch your attitude. He's going to watch your mind. He's going to watch your will. One example, Job. I think he's perfect and upright, God said. Go ahead and test him. Let's see what he's really made out of. You see, when somebody quits your church, your spirit, the spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. The Lord's searching you. He's not looking at the guy that quit. He's looking at you and says, What's he going to do? You know, this thought, and boy, I hope you can get this before you ever become a pastor. If your emotions rule you to the point where you quit, that proves what? Your emotions were your Lord, because what rules you is your Lord. What rules you is your Lord, because that's what the word Lord means, ruler. And all these pastors that have quit because I'm tired of being rejected, I'm tired of these people not listening, I'm tired of their rebellion, I'm tired of their stubbornness, I'm tired of this, and so on and so forth. I quit. What he's saying is this: my emotions are what's going to rule me. But if you can say rather at times like that, dear God, this isn't right. Their stubbornness, their rebellion, they're proud, they're angry, they're splitting hairs with me, and they're fighting over things that I've said, and so on and so forth. But Lord, I'm going to keep going because you're the Lord of my life, not my feelings. But why do most pastors quit? Because the lordship of their life is their feelings, their emotions. One preacher in Buffalo told me that in the 40 years or more he's been in this area, that he documented over 30 preachers that came to the Buffalo area saying they were called by God to come to this area and start churches, who lasted 1 to 2 years. And usually their reasons for leaving up here was that the people were too hard. Well, I think people in Jeremiah's day were pretty hard. And I think he wanted to quit, and he even did try once, but he said, then his word was in my heart like a burning fire, and I couldn't let my emotions dictate my ministry. I have to let God's word dictate my ministry. I think Elijah wanted to quit when he went and hid under a tree and said, that's enough, Lord. I've fought your battles. I've preached. I'm the only one left. I can't take it anymore. And God just said, well, you get a little rest. I'll bring some food to you, and let's go on. I think Moses wanted to quit. Why? Because his emotions. He got angry at the congregation. He's tired of them. I'm tired of them, Lord. They're your congregation. Just destroy them. I think Peter wanted to quit. I go fishing. Put my whole heart and stock into this. One time it says Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Grieved. His emotions. Yeah, we have a lot of preachers who have had struggles with their emotions. It says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, it says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. A lot of times it comes down to pride. The preacher thinks it's about me, and how dare they treat me this way? I deserve better than this. I'm leaving and finding a better congregation that'll appreciate me. And he fails the test of his emotions. And they become, many pastors become vindictive. James and John said, Lord, wilt thou that we call fire from heaven and destroy them? For they're not listening to us. And Jesus said, what? You know not what spirit you're of. You got the wrong attitude. I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. See, I said earlier that the pastor's emotions usually ruin two things: his preaching and his patience. The pastor's emotions usually affect two areas: his preaching. There's an old saying that says a shotgun only has to go off once to kill somebody. If you lose control of your emotions in the pulpit and say one wrong thing just once, you can kill that preacher with the cigarettes, killed two people that day. They never came back to that church. Now, there's a way to preach against cigarettes, but it doesn't have to be that way. And then, if he doesn't rule his emotions with patience, and that's why so many men have left the ministry after 6 years. Missionaries last less than 4. And I don't believe in many cases it's the world, the flesh, or the devil that gets to them, but their emotions that do. Now, let me close, and please look at or jot down these two words. I've tried to give you solutions. One is to rule your spirit. That is to wax strong in spirit like Jesus did. Become an emotional heavyweight and submit to the lordship of Christ, not to the lordship of your emotions. I talked about that. Another thing is to pray about your spirit. In Psalms 51 and verse 10, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Many pastors have gotten a wrong spirit about people, and it's destroyed them. It's destroyed them. Renew a right spirit within me. Now notice something else here. In Galatians 6 and verse 18, it says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Small s. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the emotional realm. See, we're so focused on the spiritual realm. We say, "Oh, God, give me grace to be a soul winner. Give me grace to teach my Sunday school lesson. Give me grace to preach." And we're so focused on getting the grace of God in the spiritual realm, the soul, that we forget about getting the grace of God in the emotional realm. "Oh, God, help me." You know, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to have this wonderful sermon ready for your people, and you've prepared it in your office. Can't wait to preach it, and 30 seconds before you preach it, someone's going to come up to you and say one of the most negative things you've heard all week. "Pastor, we're leaving the church." Just before you preach. Just before you go soul winning, someone's going to say, "Well, not many men showed up today." Just before you go out. And remember, the Spirit of the Lord is the candle of the Lord. Or the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Right then, he's looking at your spirit and saying, "What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Let's see what he's really made out of." We pray for the grace of God to be with our souls, but it says here, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit," Galatians 6:18. Pray for the grace of God to be with your spirit. And then Philemon, and I'll close with this, Philemon. Chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 25, it says, I'm sorry, did I read that verse wrong? Did I quote it right or not? "Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ," okay, "be with your spirit." Okay, here it is again, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Okay, see it again? Philemon 1, verse 25. And here's the one I forgot, 2 Timothy 4:22. 2 Timothy 4:22, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit." I have found by saying, "Lord Jesus Christ be with my spirit," be with me emotionally. I don't just need your help spiritually. I need your help emotionally. "Lord Jesus be with me. Lord Jesus, I pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with my spirit. My emotions, my attitude, my will, my mind." I found that that helps. Why? It's in the Bible. You apply it. And then you apply it from the Bible helps you. Let me just make one note about preaching so you don't kill people from the pulpit. Is this. Get your message in the study when you're right with God. When you're in a good spirit, prepare your sermon. And then when you get to the pulpit, be a slave to your notes. Don't be a slave to your emotions. You're going to look out every time you preach, there's going to be people sleeping. Every time you look out, there's going to be people bored. Every time you look out, there's going to be people that you know this sermon could help them individually. And their mind's going to be wandering way off. And boy, right about then, if you don't think preaching is an emotional experience, you ought to see the gamut of emotions that go through where you just about want to lambaste people, and I've done so many times. But get your sermon while you're in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, while you're in a good human spirit. And then when you get to the pulpit, be a slave to your notes. It'll keep you from killing people while you preach. And then, men, don't let your spirit be the Lord of your life. You got to have a lot of patience with people. Or you'll quit. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, this is the greatest battle. Father, we go out visiting, and people say they're going to come the next day, Sunday, and they don't show up. Or you plan a big day, and you expect a great attendance, and you end up having one of the worst attendances you had all year. Or you preach a sermon, and you hope somebody will get it and live it and let it change their life, and they'll act like it's for someone else. People quit the church over silly little things. Oh, God, it's hard. It's so hard. Lord, make us spiritual heavyweights. I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with our spirit. Help these men to wax strong in spirit. Help me to wax strong in spirit. And then the world opposes us. People hate us and curse us and don't like us when we knock on their doors and wake them up. Father, I got a feeling that the Antichrist spirit of the world is going to get worse against us. We're going to have to become a lot stronger. We're going to quit. Lord, help us in the emotional realm, I pray. And now bless our service tonight. I pray as the word goes out that we might see an old doctrine in a new light tonight that will help us in the obedience of it. So bless our service this night in Jesus' name. Amen.